The New Classical FM is the official radio sponsor of the Canadian Opera Company's 2025-26 season at the Four Seasons Centre for the Performing Arts. You could win tickets to one of the fall 2025 productions, Romeo et Juliet from Gounod, which runs September 27th through October 18th, or as we just heard, Orfeo and Eurydice, which runs October 9th through the 25th from Gluck. Head to the website classicalfm.ca to win the best seats in the house. You just click the contest tab. Or to pick up your own seats, of course, it's coc.ca. We're going to put a focus on Gluck's opera today, Orfeo and Eurydice. It is a love story. Eurydice has died, and grief-stricken Orfeo turns to the gods with a wish to follow his wife to the underworld and bring her back. The gods say yes, but on the condition that he not look at her until they're safely back on Earth. Can he commit to such a challenge? Will the gods take pity if he cannot? This is a production by Canadian director Robert Carson, and it's already traveled to great acclaim around the world. The stylized interpretation of the haunting Greek myth of Orpheus is minimalist, stark, and experimental. The performance is 90 minutes with no intermission. Joining us is Orfeo himself, Yeston Davies, the British classical countertenor. He'll be on stage here in Toronto. After starting on other instruments like piano and oboe, he turned to the choir and then began singing countertenor in his teens. His award-winning career includes accolades from the Royal Academy of Music, the London Handel Competition, and the Royal Philharmonic Society. He was appointed member of the Order of the British Empire in 2017. His performance and recording career is long and an incredible list, including his Wigmore live album, No Relation. Yeston Davies, welcome to the New Classical FM in Toronto.
Thank you very much.
Where have we reached you today?
I'm currently in Scotland. I'm sort of west coast in the rain.
That sounds like Scotland to me.
Yeah. It's a beautiful part of the world, but it rains a lot on the west coast.
I know. I'm from British Columbia, so I can certainly relate in that respect. You know, we've been lucky enough to have a few countertenors here on the program over the years. Tell us about the moment where you decide to go down that path, because I know you start with other instruments. You have this musical family. Tell us about that moment for you.
Well, it literally was a moment in a choir rehearsal at school. I was in a chamber choir at my school in Somerset in England, Wells Cathedral School. And I was about 16, 17, I think. My voice had been slowly breaking the previous 2 years, and I'd sung as a treble in a choir in Cambridge University. I'd grown up with choral music most of my life up until then. And I knew of countertenors, but I didn't really know anything about the repertoire. I was just singing in this rehearsal. I was singing bass at the time, and I started singing falsetto. And somebody next to me said, "Oh, that sounds all right. You should take it more seriously. I've heard worse," who are like singing in the cathedral choir and stuff like that. Yeah. Apologies to anybody who sang in Wells Cathedral Choir in 1997. But and so that was the first moment since my voice breaking that someone noticed my singing, which was great, because all trebles will tell you when they've lost their voice, their instrument, it's really frustrating because you have all this musicality and then you can't express yourself. And I played the piano and the oboe, and I was in a band at school, and it was suddenly this feeling. It felt quite good. I couldn't do it properly, but it felt better than my bass, which I also couldn't do properly.
Tell me about that moment in the sense of repertoire, because you're sort of saying goodbye, like you say, to this part of your musical life, but then you have this whole opening that happens, and there's repertoire, and there's recordings, and there's this whole new world. So how did you handle that in that moment?
I was lucky because I didn't have an obsession with opera. I didn't really know anything about... Look, I've never sung Handel's Messiah up at that point. Right. I played it on the oboe. But as a treble when I was a boy, we never sang the kind of music that you end up singing as an adult, because the choral music world is all stuff written for evensong and Sunday morning services, which is beautiful, but it's very different. I was given a CD when I was about 18 of the countertenor Andreas Scholl singing Bach cantatas. And it struck me that his voice was very pure throughout the range. It was really admirable what he'd done. And at the same time, the American countertenor David Daniels, who was signed to Virgin, was singing lots of Lieder repertoire and Mozart and Gluck. And so the two contrasting voices gave me something to chew on in terms of imitating, trying to find out what it felt like to sing a bit like them. And in combination with my singing lessons, the repertoire opened up simply because I was able to look at their CDs and saying, well, this is what these guys sing. And then this opera aria leads to this opera aria, which leads to this opera, this composer. I guess it's like reading books. You grow to like one author and then you say, well, his style is like somebody else's, and you get recommendations that way. So it was a slow process of discovering what suited my voice and also what music I like. But in the end, most of the stuff we sing as countertenors is written before 1800. And it just, by happenstance, is a period of music where the music is the most natural. It sort of appeals to the natural order of things. It's like classical architecture. It has a very strong form, which the human soul responds to, which I think why audiences love Baroque music. They know where it's going without having to know about it before they hear it. I was very fortunate that I landed in that world.
You go through this period fairly early in your career. I mean, you'd been in music for a long time. You'd had music through your whole life, but suddenly The Royal Academy of Music, the London Handel competition, the Royal Philharmonic Society, there's these awards, these accolades.
Yeah.
Where do you go in that young mind as you're getting all that attention?
Well, I was never somebody who everybody was actually saying, oh, you're going to be a star countertenor or thing. It wasn't like that at all. I applied to the Royal Academy of Music and didn't get in. And then somebody turned down a place and I got in after that.
Classic.
I'm now a fellow of the Royal Academy. So nice. But really, the beginning of my career when I was 8, that is why I do what I do, because that was very much an environment in which you are a professional, but you're not at the front. You are part of a team and you're listening to the other singers. It's like chamber music. It makes you into, hopefully, a very good musician. And for me, that was the most important thing, that every time I went on stage, I got on with the conductor, I got on with my colleagues, I learned music, I could read music, all those kind of really useful things, which in the long run is the most important thing, because a singing career can be short, but you can prolong it. It's really about the long game. And so it's really nice to get the accolades and awards on the way. But when you come out the other side of it, 10 years, 15 years later, you start to look back and say, well, somebody else gets that and it's their turn. And it's just part of the noise around you. And it's really good otherwise just to focus on where you want to be in 5 and 10, 15 years.
If you're just joining us, UK countertenor right there, Gueston Davies, is with us from Scotland here this afternoon. He will portray Orfeo in Orfeo and Eurydice beginning October 9th. It runs through the 25th here in Toronto. Tickets at coc.ca, or you can enter to win tickets by clicking the contest tab at classicalfm.ca. We've got so many people here in Toronto who are really excited to see you in performance. I was just speaking with some of my colleagues here and talking about this superstar that's arriving. And so talk to me about this role and performing Gluck, and what is the allure to you?
Well, let me say, first of all, this production was meant to happen during a thing called the pandemic.
Right.
And so I'm very grateful to COC for resurrecting it. Not only that, but also I get to work with a longtime collaborator, conductor Bernard Labadie, who's been a friend and mentor and colleague for at least a decade. But this opera is a tour de force for the countertenor. It was written originally for a castrato, so a very different sort of thing to a countertenor. However, the range is the same. Mm-hmm. I've just performed this opera in Edinburgh, at the Edinburgh Festival, with the Scottish Chamber Orchestra and a wonderful acrobat troupe called Circa, in which I had to stand on the shoulders of one of the acrobats.
Wow.
While singing an aria, climb up slowly. I'm glad to say that the Robert Carson production you'll see in Toronto isn't acrobatic in that sense, so I get a bit of time off from that. I do actually go back to that production that I did in Edinburgh with Circa in Australia after Toronto. So the really cool thing is that I'm getting to do this role 3 different times this year. That's a gift to be able to kind of explore the role and develop it. So hopefully it'll change. I've recorded it with a British group called La Nuova Musica, conducted by David Bates.
Let's talk about the performance you have to give as an actor here within this character. His wife has died, and he's speaking to the gods. He's going to the underworld to retrieve her, and he has quite a task in front of him. So tell me about, I mean, it's opera, but it is Baroque opera, and it is a specific story. So tell me about getting into this character.
It's an interesting one, because you're on stage the entire time, pretty much. There's only really one bit where the drama isn't focused on Orfeo. That's when he gets to the underworld and Eurydice, his dead wife, does get to sing an aria. There's a couple of moments when Cupid, Amore, pops up. on the one hand, it's a very thorough performance you have to give, because you're on, you don't get that normal thing of nipping off to dressing room to check the score and have a break. So that's very intense, which I love, because it means you're never out of character. And then, of course, the really important thing is Orfeo, of course, is, you know, he's king of music. He's got to have a beautiful voice. He's got to sing beautifully. He's got to be convincing. This is the voice that would sort of charm the stones and the trees and the valleys and the animals and the furies. The thing I find funny is that when I get to the underworld, of course, I'm not allowed to look back at Eurydice, else she will die. And of course, as we all know, no spoiler alert, he does do that and she dies.
Yeah.
But it's really interesting to do it. That's the only time you get to sing with the soprano singing Eurydice, and you do the duet. It's really hard singing a duet with a singer you're not allowed to look at.
I agree.
And of course, Orfeo can't tell her why. He can't look back. It'll be in Robert's production. It's basically a blank canvas. It's beautiful, almost like a landscape of black crumb. It looks like a coal face. It's a very, for want of a better word, sort of psychological, mental production. A lot of what you're seeing and hearing is kind of the inner thoughts of a man who is singing to the nature around him, but he's also externalizing what's the torment in his head of losing a loved one. It's just a few things to think about.
And 90 minutes, no intermission. I mean, it's not always the case with a night at the opera, so that's a specific.
It's nice and brief, exactly. Yeah. Get it over and done with.
It is just fascinating. I can listen to you describe your work and your performances all day long, and we're so thrilled that you're coming to Toronto in just a couple weeks. Yestin Davies, thank you for joining us.
It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.
Yestin will portray Orfeo in Orfeo and Eurydice beginning October 9th. Running through the 25th, you can pick up your tickets at coc.ca or enter to win tickets by clicking the contest tab at classicalfm.ca. My name is Mark Wigmore. Our look at arts and culture here in performance, Yestin Davies.